Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, June the 10th, 92-93 today here in Texas. I guess we're about 10 days away from summer, but we're starting to feel it a little bit this year. It's not that unusual, by the way. I know some people always like to somehow analyze the weather. We're always warm in Texas. After Memorial Day, we're always warm, so it's not a big shock, but we're not officially in summer. Well, some big stories out there today that I want to get into. So let's get started with inflation. Now, some of you are old enough to remember inflation, when inflation was a real problem. I'm talking 1979, 1980. Now, that was an inflation brought about by primarily the increase in gasoline prices. You may be old enough to remember when you could buy gasoline. I remember in 1972 going to the gas station and paying 29 cents for a gallon of gasoline, 29 cents, 1972. By 1979, 1980, the price of gasoline was about a dollar. Now, we also had shortages, and that was, again, related to the oil embargo that compounded everything in the late 70s. So that was a, that was basically an inflation brought to you by the oil embargo and by the increase in gasoline. But the net result was the same. You just had a terrible economy. You know, when you have an inflationary economy, it impacts usually the poor and the people on fixed incomes the most, because they have no way of passing on these costs or getting salary increases and so on. So it was a very bad time. If you're old enough to remember 1979, 1980, and a little bit of 81, but certainly 1979, 1980, you remember a very unhappy country, a very angry country, and inflation was sort of the that's what was driving everything, the inflation. Now, let's move to 2021. Some new inflation figures came out that should be a red alarm, red light, if you will, to this administration, the Biden administration, because gasoline prices are driving everything, basically. But also, there have been increases in many raw materials. Lumber, for example. If you have to do anything with lumber, you're going to have to wait a long time for your goods, and you're going to have to pay more. If you go to the grocery store, you're going to see that things are going up. Now, of course, a lot of that, again, is related to the gasoline. The other thing, too, that is happening is that we basically sat down for a year as a country. We didn't do a heck of a lot for a year. So we didn't have a lot of people going out and driving a lot. We didn't have a lot of people taking vacations. So we didn't have the normal economic activity. And now, as we start to reopen, there's going to be sort of a huge, if you will, it's the best example I can give you on this. I heard this from an economist, and I think it makes a lot of sense. It's like when you go to a ball game, and after the game, you know, all these cars are going out on the road, and you have all this traffic, and you're backed up sometimes for a long time. That's kind of what's going to happen right now. As all of us sort of go back to try to have a normal life, we're going to be flooding the economy with a lot of dollars, flooding the economy with a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of pent up demand for a lot of things that we didn't buy during a whole year. So this is also what's driving the inflation. Now, I predict to you that by September, October, this inflation is going to become a huge political issue. It is an issue right now, but it hasn't hit us yet. You know, so this is a little bit like a storm that, you know, you can see the dark clouds, but you haven't been hit yet. I remember back in February when we had that crazy weather here in Texas, that people were saying on the television, we're going to have a massive snowstorm on Saturday and Sunday. And everybody was saying, okay, okay. And then on Sunday especially, we had a massive snowstorm. I mean, it was huge. We don't usually get them like that. And that's kind of the way I see it with inflation. I believe that come September, October, the inflation is really going to hit us between the eyes. And the country's not going to be very happy about anything. So it's going to be bad for the economy. It's going to be really bad politically. And all of the anger is going to be directed at the Biden administration. Now, one of the things that President Biden has so far had incredibly favorable media coverage, almost to the point of being ridiculous. I mean, just totally ridiculous. There was an incident lately where President Biden was, you know, outside or somewhere, and the media was just asking him about the ice cream. I mean, that's how silly this is getting. Look at the treatment that Vice President Harris is getting. We'll talk about her in a minute. But look at the treatment she's generally been getting. So both President Biden and Vice President Harris have been getting almost excessively good coverage by the media. Now, some of that is the honeymoon. I understand that. But all of that is going to end as the summer wears on and as we enter September and October, because the inflation is going to start hitting us. And the media can cover up a lot of things. The media can try to protect President Biden on what's happening on the border, which is a disaster. The media is not covering it anymore, but it's a disaster what's happening on the border. 140,000 people came in the month of April. I mean, that's just crazy. That's not immigration. That's not asylum. That is chaotic craziness. That's just crazy. But anyway, the media can do its part by not covering that. But the media cannot protect President Biden and his administration from inflation, because inflation is going to hit everybody every time you go to the gas pump, every time you go shopping. So I think inflation is going to be the story of late 2021, as I say, starting in the fall as we get into winter and early 2022, and inflation is going to be a big factor, a huge factor in the 2022 backlash that I do believe is coming. I think there is going to be a backlash against all of this stuff coming, and that's just a fact. I think it is coming. How big it is, well, we will have to see, but there is going to be a backlash against all of these crazy policies and all this crazy woke that we've had to deal with. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. President Biden is in Europe, and I guess he's going to be there for about a week. He's going to meet with some of the other countries. That's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what presidents do. So I'm okay with that. Not exactly sure what he's going to get for the United States out of this trip. Not exactly sure what he's going to negotiate. We'll have to wait and see. There's probably going to be, you know, a lot of this garbage about how America is back and how we're working with our allies again. That's just a bunch of garbage. That's all that is, just a bunch of garbage, just a lot of political rhetoric. It doesn't mean anything. My guess is that this trip will be very inconsequential, and the president will be back in about a week or so facing his real problems, which is back here politically in the United States. The vice president is also back home. She was down in Guatemala and in Mexico City for, I guess, about 24 hours. I'm going to recommend that you listen to the podcast that we did on Wednesday with Therese Margolis, who is the chief editor of Mexico Pulse News, a wonderful digital news service that, again, I recommend to everybody. If you want to keep up with Mexico, you need to check out that service. And we spoke to her a little bit about the vice president's visit to Mexico. I have a post coming out Friday morning about the visit, because as I understand from Therese and what she wrote, it was not a very cordial meeting. And I think that privately, I'm convinced that privately the meeting didn't go well, because Mexico should be angry at the United States for the Biden policy of opening the border. The president of Guatemala basically said the same thing. He said, look, you know, when you started telling people that families were going to be reunited, that quickly translated into having the cartels coming down here picking up people. And that's, unfortunately, this is the worst part of this terrible story, is the single biggest beneficiary of this crazy policy of opening the border has been the criminal elements, because they're just having a field day. I mean, they're out there just bringing people up here, and God only knows what kinds of deals they're making, but they're probably very expensive deals. And they're making money out of this, to, you know, and that's very sad. That's very sad that American policies have actually made or have been beneficial to criminal elements, smuggling and transporting people. I mean, it is a disgrace that this is what we have done, but this is, in fact, what we have done by opening the border the way we did. So I don't expect this border situation to get better, and I do expect that part of the backlash that I was talking about before will include a very strong resentment of what is happening on the U.S.-Mexico border, which is a self-inflicted, totally self-inflicted wound. This did not have to happen. One of the great things that President Trump did was to organize the situation on the border, and things were actually going quite well. But not right now. It is a total mess right now. I talked about a backlash a minute ago, about this backlash coming in 2022. One of the big reasons that I believe this backlash is going to come, and come in big numbers, is what you're seeing from coast to coast in public school boards. And, you know, when parents go to the school board meetings, you know, these used to be, for the most part, pretty routine meetings, nothing much of consequence. But they've now become a real political issue. And you're seeing mothers, especially mothers, go into these meetings and just tear up the school board and tell them, you're not going to teach my kids to hate his country or her country. And we've already seen it here in Texas, you know, this, what do they call it, critical race theory. You cannot teach that in Texas. That has been completely done away here in Texas. Other states are doing the same thing. But I think all these mothers who are going before the school board meetings, that is going to be a huge part of the backlash. Parents who are going to be voting against all this woke and all of this terrible stuff that is being done in public schools to our children. And that's going to be part of the backlash. That's why I continue to say that there is going to be a massive backlash in 2022. I just feel it. I just feel it. And I think as the year goes by and that inflation kicks in that I was talking about before, this is going to be nasty. I think 2022, not going to be a good year to be a Democrat. I can tell you that right now. I know a lot of people say, well, it's too early to say that. It is. I mean, I agree it is. But you can smell it. You can smell the backlash, and the backlash is coming. And it's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal against President Biden and the Democrats. You can just feel it from coast to coast, the backlash coming. Well, a little bit of On This Day in History. I love this story. This is one of those On This Day in History stories that I absolutely love. June the 10th, 1944, we had troops over at Normandy on D-Day. They were fighting there. They had, you know, they had begun to secure the beach, but the fighting was very intense, especially as they went into the countryside. And back here, there was a baseball season, but a lot of the players were actually fighting the war. So the Cincinnati Reds brought up a 15-year-old pitcher. His name is Joe Nuxil, who came up. He pitched a couple of innings, and then they sent him down again. They had no players, basically, back then, and that's why they brought this kid. But, you know, eventually he came back a few years later and made it to the major leagues and actually became a decent major league pitcher. But his claim to fame is that he was 15 on this day in 1944, and he was only 15 when he pitched in the major leagues, and therefore the youngest, the very youngest major leaguer ever in major league history. Joe Nuxil, who later became the radio voice of the Cincinnati Reds. So those of you in Ohio, you remember this a great deal. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.